Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Network.
Let it rain!
You remember the class where I taught you all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
Rise and shine, sports investors. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is Friday, December 6th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it and make it rain here. I got Jared Smith in the building. I'm Dane Martinez. And we're going to do everything we can.
Let's cock-a-doodle-do it.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Dropping it.
Pretty quickly. We're gonna try and get a little bit of extra cash for the weekend for you. Jared, how you doing this fine Friday morning?
I'm great. Dane, we killed it in NFL last night, man. You hit that Zeke prop, the two touchdowns, got that second one late, and man, oh man, if you were going to say that you were going to win money betting on something the Cowboys did right last night, I would have called you crazy, but you know, that was a great pick. Our Tariq Cohen pick hit pretty easily. And the Bears plus three covered for us as well. So great night in the NFL.
We made a little bit of extra cash, and then we were talking some more on In Game Live with Gabe Morency, right? And the idea of, like, first of all, this Mitchell Trubisky rushing yards prop, so ridiculous, right? I think it was at 9.5.
Yeah.
They were running reaction for a lot of the time out there, and we will break it all down as we get into it. We got a full slate of Week 14 NFL games. It is conference championship weekend in college football that we got to talk about. We'll even have a guest on a little bit later on. Maxwell Smart will come on with us and talk a little bit of college basketball. So we have all bases covered. But I wanted to start with this, Jared. You know, I literally, like 5 minutes ago, I'm listening to the commercials, right? And they cut up something about what we were talking about yesterday. And we were talking about the Big 12 championship game yesterday. And then as kind of like a transition, I was like, yeah, but Lincoln Riley and Matt Rhule will be in the NFL next year, right? And you were like, you didn't know about Matt Rhule. And then on Lincoln Riley, you were like, I don't think Jerry Jones is going to fire Jason Garrett. I have an opportunity right now to change your position on that if you would like to.
You know, it's funny, though, because I watched the press conference with Jerry Jones, or I listened to it after the game. I didn't see his face. I want to watch it because I want to see his face when he said, anyone who's healthy will be coaching next week, which was weird. Because usually you don't use that word about a coach.
Also, last week, you know, said something like, yeah, Jason Garrett will coach somewhere in the NFL.
Yeah, I know. It's like he's dropping you these little, like, it's almost like he's trolling the media right now. I think he's going to stay the rest of the year. I don't think he's going to get fired until the end of the season, but I do think at the end of the year he will get fired.
Right. This is a Black Monday kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think it's a Black Monday deal.
Like on Monday, December 30th, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and Lincoln Riley, I read something today that Lincoln Riley's the top guy. I also read that the Clemson offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott, is another guy that has been in talks with Stephen Jones, Jerry's son. So Urban Meyer, maybe throw that name in too. But, yeah, I think if Oklahoma does what they're supposed to do tomorrow and they get snubbed for the playoff, that's a better scenario, I think. Well, not snubbed, but they don't make it. That's a better scenario, I think, for Lincoln to leave. If they make the playoff again for a third straight year, I mean, it's. I guess if they lose in the playoff, that also right. gives him an out.
The best
but,
scenario would be for them to win the damn championship, and then Lincoln Riley can
yes,
be like, peace out.
Absolutely. I just feel like Lincoln is a really competitive guy, and I think he thinks he can win a championship at Oklahoma, and who are we to disagree with him? He's been to the playoff two straight years, maybe a third straight
two
year.
Straight.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I don't think Matt Rhule's going to go. I think Rhule needs some more seasoning.
Well, let's put it this way. When the game of musical chairs starts in the NFL, I think there will be a seat with the Dallas Cowboys star on it for someone to sit there. And the funny part is, listen, the game, you know, Buck and Aikman are doing the game, right? And Aikman is, like, trying to hold out hope. You know, he's like, oh, maybe they can get a field goal and an onside kick and have a shot, you know? And,
no shot.
He had to at some point like spend the last 5 minutes talking about how Jason Garrett was going to get fired. Even he knows that this is going to happen. I mean, I agree with you. I don't know that it's an in-season kind of move, mostly because Jared, they're still live to win the division.
I know. And they're still the favorite, I think, to win the division.
I double checked that because I wanted to make that exact point. I've been going back and forth with a lot of people on this network, and I've been saying I think Philly will win the NFC East, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm holding an Eagles NFC East ticket. I mean, it was much higher odds or longer odds back when I bet it in August. It was like minus 150. I probably could have got it at like 5-1 a few weeks ago.
At some point, it is now, and this is the part that I don't understand, guys. Dallas, as you wake up this morning, Dallas is minus 150 to win the NFC East.
And that's a pretty good favorite in the NFL.
Right. Philly is plus 125
Unbelievable.
To win that division. Okay? And I know that Philly defecated the mattress last week in Miami. I know that. Okay? But do you think they're going to do it again? Monday night at home against Eli Manning.
Eli's 1-9 in his last 10 games against the Eagles.
And go look at the schedule. Go look at the schedule. The Cowboys have still the Rams and then this big-time Week 16 game against the Eagles, which many people have been saying for months will decide this division. That's in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Jared. You know, and meanwhile, the Eagles have the Giants twice, the Washington football team, and then that showdown against the Cowboys. And, you know, the way the Cowboys look right now, I wouldn't pick them against anybody.
No. They look like a dead stick last night, especially defensively.
Did anything defensively. You got Mitchell Trubisky looking like a star against them. Three touchdowns, another 63 and a TD on the ground. They're able to run however they want. Our Tariq Cohen prop hit. Allen Robinson looking great. I mean, they were able to do whatever they wanted on offense to the point where they had to praise like this renaissance of Mitchell Trubisky. But that's not it for me because I saw Buffalo and Josh Allen do the same damn thing on Thanksgiving. So, and now up next, they have the Los Angeles Rams, which is a better offense than both of these teams. You know, so I do think it is a big time problem. But that reminds me, Jared, we have a poll question up right now as well.
I voted in it.
Who's going to win the NFC East? And, you know, I think the schedule is important because the schedule is dramatically easier, in my opinion, for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it starts Monday night for Philadelphia. So let us know at FNTSY Radio, at Spit and Speeds, at Jared Smith, if you want to be part of the show and part of the poll. When we come back on the other side of the break, Jared, is what we're going to do. All right? We'll talk a little bit more about this game, and then we will spin it forward and look at some of the other spotlight games. We got college football, we got college basketball, and a whole lot more. It's making rain here on the Sports Grid Network. Jared Smith and Dane Martinez holding you on as we go into a December holiday.
Now Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brown, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
There you go, as the beat drops. We come on back to make it rain here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Dane Martinez. We've got Jared Smith, Joe Ranieri, who, is wondering now, like, oh, wait, maybe I was supposed to pack a jacket when I fly outside of Miami to
Where's he going?
The middle of December. I believe he is in the lovely city of St. Louis.
Oh, he definitely needs a jacket. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's just not used to these
things. He's not going to be able to go tanning in St. Louis this week.
But I can't front. I'm going to be happy down there next month. I'm going to be chilling with Joe down in Miami for my
nice. Oh, that'll be fun. Wow.
Yeah, but, so maybe you can cover for me.
You got it, man.
In about
gotta
a
tell,
month.
You got to tell Sussman and Cardano they got to get that schedule rocking.
Yeah, I'll give you those dates. It'll be good stuff. Let's talk a little bit more about last night. The Chicago Bears with a 31-24 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. They go to 7-6 on the season, maintaining their hopes for the playoffs. The interesting part is that Dallas, wakes up still as the leader of the NFC East. And so we were talking about them versus Philly. You know, one of the things I want to bring up, though, Jared, is something we talked about on In Game Live yesterday, how teams go away from what's working. And what I think is interesting, we literally made the joke on In Game Live, because correct me if I'm wrong, Jared, but in the first drive, Zeke Elliott had like 30, 35 rushing yards, right? They were giving the ball to Zeke left, right, and center, and he was able to move the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were joking about like his in-game props, and they went up to like 105, 110. And we were like, oh, we should even take the over on that,
Gabe did.
And yes, I hit. Oh, Gabe did.
He took the one. He took 103, I think.
Okay. Well, maybe he should have taken the two touchdowns, like I told him.
Yes.
But that's besides the point. But the point I want to make here is, I guess it goes back to the coaching, Kellen Moore, Jason Garrett as well. But he finished under his rushing prop, Jared.
I know. It's crazy.
And he had 19 carries. Okay. I know that he had like 9 in the first quarter, Jared. Okay, and I know he had 2 at the goal line late. So outside of that, they gave him the ball, 7 times throughout the game? That makes no sense to me. Amari Cooper was clearly banged up and hobbled for most of the game. Okay, why are they not giving Zeke Elliott the ball? I don't care. Like, at 17-7 at halftime, you're not down so much that, oh my God, you have to be a volume thrower and he's game scripted out of it. Like, that's when you go back to what you know is working well. Like, why did Zeke disappear in, like, the third quarter last night?
Right? I just think – I mean, and we did talk about it last night. It's just the Cowboys, when you think they're going to zig and everything says zig, this is the game plan, let's zig, we're going to win if we zig, they zag. I mean, because you're right. We watched that first drive, and I said it too. I said, don't look too much into the first drive. They're scripted. I don't know if it's going to be the way that the game flows.
Part of the script. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know.
Here's the thing, Jared. Here's the thing. Like, I appreciate, I respect what you're saying. You are right, okay? But if so, the script is what they spent all week thinking would be their best foot forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
That script is. Right? You had enough time to think and plan.
Yeah, it's the game plan. The script is the game plan. That's what we're going to attack for the first quarter.
Okay. And so when that's happening, right, it was what, 7-7?
Yeah.
Maybe 10-7. They got a pick, you know, on the goal line or else. Why then go away from what you spent all week thinking was like the right plan? Like, you're right, Jared. It was the script.
Yeah.
Even more to my point that you don't go away from it if it's effing working, Jared, right?
I think it's just and I think that's why so many Cowboys fans are just so perplexed on what is going on, because the coaching staff and Kellen Moore is a really young coordinator. You know, we saw him a little bit as a backup quarterback in the NFL. We really saw him at Boise State as, like, you know, the lefty, you know, undervalued quarterback that can kind of move the ball in different ways. I just don't understand how you can – I agree with you 100%. I don't understand how they can get away from Zeke so quick last night. And I thought he was going to be more utilized in the passing game, especially with Pollard out. That didn't happen at all. And anytime Dallas tried to throw the ball underneath, they had no success. They didn't have success throwing it down the field. The one thing that they had success with was pounding the ball up the middle with Zeke Elliott. And, you know, no Akiem Hicks, no Danny Trevathan for the Bears. Yeah. There was a spot there. There was a gap in the middle where you could, you know, isolate the running game for Dallas. And you're right. After that first drive, they made it like they were down three scores, and they just spread it out and started throwing a ball over the field. I don't understand it. And that's where the coaching staff disconnect comes in for me with this Dallas offense. And that's why, if I'm Jerry Jones, I wouldn't wait until the end of the year to fire Jason Garrett. What are you gaining? I mean, I understand you're still in the hunt for the NFC East, but right. If it's broke, fix it.
Right. But if you can still win the division and host the playoff game,
I know.
It's broken. I agree with you. Like, don't get me wrong. I agree with you. But, you know, I don't think
such a weird situation, right, Dane? Like, I mean, we've been covering football for a while. This is a weird situation, what's happening in Dallas right now.
Specifically Dallas, yes. I was going to say, like, there was that one year where the NFC West, I think, had, like...
Yeah, no, it was the Sam Bradford Rams. They wanted it, like, 7-9, I think.
Before. Remember, and then they won. I think it was... Wasn't it
Seattle? But they didn't have the talent that Dallas has. Dallas is a historically good team, point differential-wise, to record. Like, you don't see point differential positive with a sub-500 record. That does not happen in the NFL, and that's what's happening in Dallas.
I think you also hit that Zeke Elliott longest run prop.
He had like a big 30-yarder in the first quarter,
And even more evidence to our point. Like, listen, it was working. Why'd you go away from it? I do not understand. But let's look now. Let's spend a couple minutes, though, honestly, Jared, on the positive side here. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears, okay? For a while, I have been quick, Jared, to say that Mitchell Trubisky is not that dude, okay? Not the dude that's going to get it done. I think he will always, you know, unfortunately for him, be compared to Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, the two other quarterbacks that came out in that draft class, especially when Chicago decided to trade up and then pick Trubisky of those three. You know, it's not to be consistently compared against two of what I think will be the best quarterbacks, you know, for the next decade, let's say, right? But he's pulling himself out of it. Jared, in that middle of the season, you know, about a month or two ago, I was really going hard on him. Jared, I was likening him to Blake Bortles, okay? A guy that franchise drafted, the team had early success, but mostly predicated on their defense, and then would realize over years that he wasn't worth it, and then it would be setting the franchise back for years. I've been saying I think Cam Newton will be the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears next year, but Trubisky is starting to put it in my eye. I am seeing him do some things, mobility in the pocket, he's delivering the ball, you know, I mean... And I look, he's not a volume thrower last night. 23 of 31 efficiency. He can use his legs. I mean, if you're a Bears fan, do you believe Trubisky is your answer for the next decade?
Yeah, I mean, I do think you got to give him the shot. I mean, at this point, we haven't seen anything over the last month that would lead me to believe that he hasn't taken a step forward. And I think people are forgetting that Matt Nagy still, you know, is only in his second year as head coach. This is a new system. This is a quarterback that has progressed. And I know last year he took a step forward, then he took a step back, and then he took another step back this year. But in the crunch time over the last month, he's been positive. And the NFL, I'm a firm believer that you are never as good as you look on your best week, and you're never as bad as you look on your worst week. And so I'm not going to crown Trubisky as the next MVP of the league, but you've got to at least be encouraged, because what they've been able to do is they've been able to find a niche for him, which is, okay, struggling to throw the ball. Let's see if you can move it a little bit with your legs. And when they kind of take the reins off him,
right?
And I think they were hesitant to have him run early in his career because they were trying to get him settled in the pocket. And I think that kind of it kind of hamstrung him because he was so used to getting outside of the pocket. Now I think Matt Nagy's kind of designed a scheme for him to be able to, you know, show his talents a little bit with his legs. And man, oh man, did he look good last night on the ground.
Yeah, he absolutely did. As we said, 63 yards and the touchdown. And they were actually, you know, they were running zone reads.
Yeah.
You know, like straight up. This was, some of it was scrambling in the first half, but they were just straight running zone reads in the second half. So maybe Trubisky does have a little bit of a stay of execution to see if he can prove himself as QB1 up there in the Windy City. When we come back, Jared, we'll turn our attention to some of these other Week 14 spotlight games, and we're going to put some shekels. It's Make It Rain here on the Sports Grid Network. Jared Smith and the Spittin' Statistician coming back at you after this. Get on the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast.
We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next-generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads and serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcasts and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Welcome back. It's Make It Rain here on the Sports Grid Network. Dane Martinez and Jared Smith holding it down here, trying to get you a little bit of extra cash for the weekend. And I got to tell you guys, if you want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire, dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with the DailyRoto.com optimizer and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS. Lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much, much more. Save 10% on winning DFS advice with the promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more. That's DailyRoto.com/dunk. And of course, DailyRoto.com is where millionaires are made. Jared, I was able to, we had our Sports Grid holiday party recently, and I was talking to Drew Dinkmeyer. Yeah, because, you know, anytime I hear where millionaires are made, my mind goes immediately to Drew Dinkmeyer.
Get some of that right? Cash, baby.
But I do want to tell everybody that Drew Dinkmeyer also, you should check out his work with the nonprofit, the Welly Makers. Do you know about this, Jared?
I don't.
Okay, so the first time he won $1 million, Drew Dinkmeyer, he linked up with this nonprofit. Okay, I think it's called the Welly Makers, and what they do, because from the Millie Maker, he put a big chunk of money into this nonprofit that goes and gets digs like clean water wells in Africa and stuff to get these communities, good clean water, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think Drew even won like one of these kind of awards from the FSTA for being like one of the humanitarians of the year in our community.
Wow.
So always to Drew Dinkmeyer, not only is he helping people win them millions and winning that cash himself, he's then going out and doing good things with that, for society. So that should not be understated. But in any event, I digress. Let's get over to these Week 14 games so you could also win millions of dollars potentially and then also do charitable acts with them. So, you know, Jared, one of the first things I look at this Baltimore-Buffalo game, Jared, and my question is, like, what do you value more, right? Do you think Lamar Jackson is this true Halley's Comet, like, generational thing that literally cannot be stopped, you know? Or do you acknowledge that, like, they're not going 15-1, 14-2. There may be another loss or two on their schedule. They can be slowed down. You know, Baltimore had this gauntlet, right, of having to deal with, what, New England and San Francisco and Buffalo this week and the number one run defense in the Jets after that. And a few weeks ago, people were saying, well, he's going to slow down. Someone's going to pick him off, right? But he's still going through that gauntlet. And a lot of times the public just reacts like, oh, pencil in W's the rest of the way in for teams like Baltimore or New Orleans, right? Or pencil in losses for Cincinnati or Miami the rest of the season. And you can't really do that, Jared. You know what I mean? Like, these teams, you know, the best baseball teams lose 60 games.
Yeah.
The best teams lose games. You know what I mean? So I know that. And I know the Bills are always under-respected. I know the Bills are announcing themselves on national TV against the Cowboys. I know the Bills are technically still live in the AFC East with a game against New England coming up. But it's really hard for me to stand in the way of this Lamar Jackson train. I mean, the damn Pope got a Lamar Jackson jersey and blessed fine intervention. Here's what I'm saying, Jared. Part of me thinks 6 is too big of a number for a really good defense. I saw a 2017 game just last week when Baltimore was at home against what I believe is a really quality team and a good defense. Now they have to go on the road on what I am starting to believe is a quality team and a real defense, and they're laying 6? That may be too much for me, Jared. Call me crazy.
I don't think you're crazy at all. So line movement in this game, right out of the gate, went from 7 to 6, and to me, the 7 and 3 kind of line of demarcation is huge for me, especially when I see 70% of the tickets on Baltimore and 80% of the money on Baltimore, but the line still moves towards Buffalo. That
right.
is reverse line movement, dude, dude. Like the alarm should be going off right there. Buffalo's legit, man. They're on extra rest this week. They get 10 days off. Baltimore's coming off a physical game against the Niners That was a tough game for Lamar Jackson. He did not play well in the passing game. Nobody did that day. It was bad weather conditions in Baltimore. But I can definitely see Buffalo not only competing, but winning this game outright. I will not be playing the Ravens this week. I don't know if I'm going to get to the window with the Bills just yet, but if I do play this game, it will definitely be on Buffalo's side.
All right, and here's another thing. And I was going to say, when I was a kid, there was a thing when I was like driving with like my grandparents in the backseat of the car.
Yeah.
Time I saw a Toys R Us, I would make that kind of alarm signal.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's like the reverse line movement alarm. You know what I mean?
That's all we worry about, the reverse line. That's the only, and also the alarm this morning at 4:30 a.m. That was the other alarm I listened to.
I just got to get used to it. It's all love. And here's another thing to explain, Jared. Help explain this to the people out there. I always say that when you have and this isn't a huge spread, right? It's only 6.
Yeah.
But when I see things like 11, 12, 13, and a low total, yes, which I would consider 4 a pretty low total here, it's just hard to make up that gap and not score points. I just think this is going to be a punch you in the mouth physical kind of game. Now, can Baltimore, they're the number one offense in the NFL. They're scoring more points. I get it. But I think Buffalo, listen, Buffalo has only given up more than 20 points once this season. Philadelphia put it on them. I think Philadelphia put up like 37 against them.
Yeah,
okay?
That was their one bad game really this year.
Like 19 against them. Check their scores. It's funny. Like Miami got to 20 or 21 against them both times. But teams don't even get to 20 against the Buffalo Bills. Now, Baltimore may be different. But really what we're asking is, can Buffalo score like 17 points against these Ravens? You know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think that's possible. I mean, I do think the key to this game is what Buffalo's defense does against Baltimore's offense and how they try to slow that down. And again, I think the extra time helps because you get 3 extra days. Sean McDermott gets 3 extra days to prepare. Unlike last night where both Chicago and Dallas were on the same rest, I do think the extra 3 days is important here, and it's going to make this handicap a little bit different. Baltimore's offense scares me, obviously, but man, they've been so hot. And the NFL, just like we said a little while ago, you're never as high as your highest point. You're never as low as your lowest point. It's usually somewhere in between. And I think after what we saw from Baltimore, 37 against the Pats, 30 against the Seahawks, 41 against the Texans, 45 against a really good Rams team, I do think we're going to start to see some regression. And I think 6 at home with Buffalo is the value play. I am definitely not betting Baltimore in this game. I haven't made up my mind if I'm going to get to the window yet with Buffalo, but the more we're talking about it, the more I like the Bills.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is either a stay away or give me Buffalo plus the 6. Right? And you know what's funny is that I wonder the kind of conversation that our friends Ariel Epstein and Gabe Morency will have about this game, because those are their two teams, and both of them have it all right in front of them. This should be a very fun game.
I wonder who Gabe's betting on Sunday. Oh, wait, I probably already know.
We know. I think we know who Ariel as well. So we'll talk about it with them on
Sunday. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's the rivalry matchup this week on the morning show.
Right? They've got to do a
side bet on it or something.
Yeah, they should. Another game that I want to sneak in here before we get to our next break, and I think this is under the radar, a sneaky, really important game in the AFC, Jared. I think this is kind of an elimination game on some level, and I'm talking about the Tennessee Titans, Jared, going out to the West Coast to take on the Oakland Raiders. These two teams are tied right now, I believe, for the second wild card at 7-5. Correct me if I'm wrong. And my question for you is this. Josh Jacobs, like 2 or 3 weeks ago against Cincinnati, like a historically bad run defense, reeled off whatever it was, 125. Then the next week against the Jets, top-ranked run defense, he didn't hit his rushing prop. He ran for like 30-some-odd yards. Now we hear reports that he's got a bad shoulder, that he's playing through a fractured shoulder for the last month. So more power to him, right? The Tennessee run defense is something like 13th, 14th in the league. They're sort of in the middle. But what I do believe in is Vrabel to understand that, right? Understand that Jacobs is the linchpin here and try to force Carr to win it on his arm. And then I think, do I believe in his ability to do that with guys like Waller, Williams, you know, Zay Jones and the like? And then on the other side, I think Ryan Tannehill is hot. The Titans are, what, 6-1 with him under center, averaging 30 points a game. And people are, in my opinion, under-respecting Ryan Tannehill and what they do every year in November and December, which is give Derrick Henry the damn ball.
Yeah.
And he responds with 125 yards every game. I like the road team in this one, and I think I'm going to lay the points as long as it's less than a field goal, and I'm staring at 2.5 right now. Again, Jared, call me crazy.
No, I don't think you're crazy at all, and I think, again, you know, we talked about this yesterday, how I cap NFL games is the line movement and where the line starts and where it moves to is my first point of kind of handicap. And this line opened at a pick'em. The action's been split. And it's moved all the way to 2.5 with heavy juice on the 2.5 for the Titans side. So that immediately points me in Tennessee's direction. Then I get into the numbers and I start to break some of this stuff down. Ryan Tannehill has been outstanding this year. He sure might be the comeback player of the year in the NFL.
He's going to win people fantasy football games.
72% completion percentage. That's leading the league or right there with Drew Brees and with Kirk Cousins right there at tops of the NFL. And that is the one stat for quarterbacks that I look at above anything else as how well you're playing. Because completion percentage in the NFL is everything on how well you can move the ball systematically down the field in a consistent way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Tannehill has been good. I think the Tennessee Titans should re-up him. You know, he's played his way.
That's crazy to think, huh?
I absolutely would.
And I know, I agree too. Never would have thought I'd say that preseason, though.
I'm saying, but we'll talk about this and some other key Week 14 matchups on the other side of the break. It's just make it rain on Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk. I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Let's make it rain here on the Sports Grid Network. Jared Smith holding it down with Dane Martinez as we slide into a December weekend. And it's a big weekend, okay? Playoff positioning in the NFL, conference championships games.
Oh, yeah.
In football, you know, Jared, you and I talked through, like, kind of the path for a lot of teams to be that fourth team in the BCS.
Yeah, I did that a little bit on Morning Line, too. I kind of did the hypotheticals. So,
will start to get decided tonight as the Pac-12 championship in rainy, bad field conditions, we believe, at Levi's Stadium.
Really bad.
That you have a futures ticket there for the Pac-12, and I got one question for you. Did you say Utes?
And Chris played that this morning during one of our, during one of the bump segments on the, I love that movie. I love that movie so much.
You blend. It's a 1973 Buick Skylark. All right, but in any event, I digress.
In metallic mint green.
Right, that's right. One tire spins, the other thing does nothing. But anyway, we can do that all day long. We can do that all dead on balls accurate. Let's be dead on balls accurate about.
Yeah, that exactly.
Right, let's say it's an industry term. You know what I mean, Jared? Yeah. So one of the things you were saying was that you look at kind of like the opening line and how it moves, right? And guys and gals. The reason this is a big, you know, a way to look at it, right, is the term is follow the money, right, Jared?
Oh, yeah.
And you see how the money impacts the lines, right? And then you got to wonder, why are all these people on one side? Do they have that information? What do they know? I do the same thing, Jared, when I go to the racetrack and I bet the ponies. I go into the track and play in the ponies, right? And so, you know, they'll have their little post parade, though. And if a horse goes from 12-1 all of a sudden down to 7-1, right? It's like, huh.
What do they know?
Somebody something, or somebody just placed 50K on this horse, right? And so that is an interesting or an important data point, the same as all the rest of them, right, Jared?
Totally agree.
So, I'm in a pool, you know, one of these, like, you pick every game against the spread, a pool with, like, 50, 100 people, whatever it is. And I always, but we do it based off the opening lines on Tuesday, you know, on the website that we use or whatever. And so, to your point, Jared, I then always, like, around Friday, I go back and I compare, right, the current spreads of these games with what I had as the morning line on
Tuesday.
Where
you're going to find the value.
That brings me to a very interesting one, Jared, because I'm looking at Sunday night football, and on Tuesday, Jared, when these lines came out, the Seahawks were 1.5-point favorites. The Rams were home dogs
by a point and a half.
Now I look at FanDuel, and the Rams are now 1-point favorites, okay? So we talk about the money moving the line. But this is an interesting case, Jared, where the movement has actually gone to the other side of the game. So in essence, Jared, you could have already gotten your middle. You could have already, if you were smart or if you were on it, you could have already on Tuesday, for example, bet the Rams at like probably something like plus 125. And now I'm seeing you could bet the Seahawks at plus 110. You know what that means? You win.
Yeah.
So tell me about how rare you think it may be for this movement to literally go from one team to the other. We saw it in the Super Bowl last year, Jared.
We did.
Against the Rams at play here for Sunday night.
We saw it twice this year, too. First week of the year, we saw it with the Chargers and the Colts after they announced that Andrew Luck was not going to play. The Chargers went from a big dog to a favorite. And
well, that was the Andrew Luck thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It was the Andrew Luck announced that he was retiring, and all of a sudden that week one game flipped from a favorite to a dog for the Colts. We also saw it on Thanksgiving Day. We saw it with the Bears and the Lions. I was fortunate enough to get ahead of the market with the Jeff Driskel news that he was going to miss and that David Blau was going to play. I got the Bears at -2.5. I want to say it was like Monday night late, like right after that Monday Night Football game, we started to hear rumblings that Driskel's health was not well. I think it was his elbow, his arm or something, wrist. And I got the 2.5. And then by Wednesday, it was already up to 4. By game time, it was at 6. And if you pounded the Lions at +6 and then the Bears at -2.5, that game ended 24-20. That was the best middle opportunity I've seen in a long time. We're getting to that point with this Rams-Seahawks game. If you jumped on the Rams +3 earlier in the week, even if it was +2.5, And then now you can get the Seahawks at +1, +2, close to game time. There's a chance that that game finishes at 1 or 2. So that's a middle opportunity that's brewing. Again, if you missed Rams +3, you're not going to be able to sniff anything close to that. But to me, the most bullish trend in line movement is the dog to favorite move. And that's what we've seen here in this game. And
so why is it moving this way? Well, let's cap it now. Why is this happening? Why is all the people moving their money to the Rams? Like, you know, I mean, I get that they're at home, right? I get that they've looked a little bit better in the last couple of weeks, in my opinion, mostly due to the fact that they're handing Todd Gurley the ball for some balance, right? But the line is moving away from who I believe is still a live MVP candidate.
Yeah.
The line is moving
away in prime time game.
Prime time, right? If I'm going to hang my hat on anything in this game, it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So tell me why. Like, do you agree with the line movement?
I personally don't, but who am I? Because it's obviously sharps in Vegas that are pushing this. Because the public's on Seattle, no surprise. I do think it's a little bit of an overreaction to what we saw last Sunday with the Cardinals game. And again, rumblings I'm hearing from the Cardinals locker room was that a few guys were under the weather. And so maybe that game maybe wasn't as one-sided as you would think from a talent standpoint. And it was just maybe the Cardinals were a step slow because they were a little under the weather. And I'm hearing some interesting things from Arizona's locker room about that. But, you know, Arizona lost 34-7 to the Rams on Sunday. And then all of a sudden on Monday night, the Seahawks played well in that game, but they certainly showed some chinks in the armor, especially defensively.
But they didn't look like 18 levels better than what we thought going in.
No.
This was against Minnesota. They won by 7.
Yeah, they fell behind early, and they needed a really – they needed a crazy – yeah, that was a crazy second half. That was one of the better second halves of an NFL game I've seen all year. In terms of like back and forth action, like it wasn't like Seattle was a one sided winner in that game. They took a big lead, and then Minnesota kind of answered the bell a little bit. And Minnesota's a good team too, so I wouldn't put it past the Vikings to make a push in that game, and that's why the game was close. I do think it's a bit of an overreaction. And once it got past the 3, so it opened at 3 and it got bet down immediately. And then once it got to 2 and then 1, and we started to see a couple more sharp bets come in on the Rams, it wouldn't take much to push that back. It's not going to get up to like 2.5 or 3 on the Rams side as a favorite. I think this game will close right around a pick'em.
Yeah, I do too, and I continue to lean Seattle. Like, yes, the Rams have looked a little bit better recently, but this is a step up in competition for the Rams, not for the Seahawks, but for the Rams. You mentioned, you know, Arizona and others recently, and sure, they know they need to win this game to stay in the playoff chase and all that, but that doesn't really rate with me as a factor. I think that Seattle is just a team that has a more solid identity right now, and I trust Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I trust Russell Wilson a lot too. I'm trying to look back at the Rams' schedule. This is they did play the Seahawks earlier this year, and that was that crazy game that Seattle won late, and it was a really close game, a 1-point game. So,
well, there you go.
You know, I'm telling you, the books would get absolutely hosed if this game finished at 1.
Another 1-point game.
If Seattle wins this game by 1, the books are going to get killed on Monday night or on Sunday night.
Yeah, question. When you talk about the middle, because one of the ways I was saying it was like as it crosses over 0, right, from one team to another, not only do you have that middle opportunity at 1 that you're talking about, but I think you could lock in a win, Jared. If you bet both sides at a plus number, you've won.
Yeah, and that's certainly the goal. I mean, you know, you're not going to make $1 million doing, you know, you're not going to get rich doing that because
it depends on what your unit is.
Exactly. unless you're $1,000 unit better, you're probably just going to, you know, pennies, dribs and drabs. But also at the same time, if you're betting these, betting these games to make money, you need to take a little more risk with some of these plays. So you're not going to make a get rich doing that. But it's a conservative style that puts you in the black every game if you can find those spots.
Yeah, absolutely. Another game that is interesting to me that I want to talk about. I mean, clearly we got some of the big boys, but there's some huge games on the card this week. We're going to save San Fran, New Orleans. We're going to save Kansas City, New England for our 8 o'clock hour. I tell you what, a game that I also find interesting and maybe others don't, but let's talk about this Monday Night Football game, Jared, real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's all in front of Philly. They now, for the second week in a row, will see the door open because the Cowboys defecate the mattress on Thursday, right? Whether it was Thanksgiving when the Bills went in there and dump trucked them, or last night, Philly now knows that they have an opportunity against a two-win team, just like last week when they had an opportunity against the two-win team. Okay, and they know that if they win in a home game in prime time against Eli Manning, who have you have mentioned has been historically bad against the Eagles,
really bad.
They had a flat-footed tie with the home game against Dallas, and Dallas looks like they're unraveling. Can you make a case for the Giants on Monday night, Jared?
Absolutely not. The Giants are the worst team in football. They're the worst coach team. They're the worst coach team in football. They're not better or worse with Eli Manning, I don't think. I think they're just a bad team. And they've lost 8 games in a row, longest losing streak in the league this year. Really, really bad football team. And I think if Cincinnati hadn't been historically bad, that...
Well, since he's got one, the Giants have two.
I think if Cincy hasn't been historic, like if Cincinnati is able to win one or two games down the stretch, I think the Giants might get the number one pick. I really do think that. I think the Giants are the worst team in football.
Still on their schedule.
Yeah.
I believe the Giants still have Washington on their schedule. So, yeah, there's a lot in front of them. And to be honest, when you talk about the Giants, they don't need to be the one pick.
No.
It could be the two pick because, you know, Cincinnati is going to take, you know, Burrow or whoever they like. You know, Chase Young might fall into the Giants' lap.
And that would be a positive thing for the Giants because their pass rush has been dreadful since those Super Bowl years. That was what they hung their hat on when they won those Super Bowls.
They're going to field offers from all the teams that want to go up and get Herbert or Tua or Fromm.
Which I think would be a mistake. I think the Giants should take Chase Young and move on and try to rebuild that defense. And they've got the quarterback. I don't know what is going on with these coaches. I think the coaching in the NFC East, I mean, goodness gracious, you've got three losers.
Peterson and then three guys that, well, I
like Doug Peterson a lot, but you've seen over the last few weeks just how important Frank Reich was to this team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, all right, so you don't believe, do you believe in them plus 9.5 or 10, though?
I can't take the Giants. It's either an Eagles or no play. I can't put my – I bet the Giants last week against the Packers. That was a fade-the-public type of spot, and my fade-the-public plays were very profitable on Sunday, except for that one. That was the one where even the public got that one right. Even Joe Public, who in the NFL is not a profitable bettor. In college and in other sports, it's different. But in the NFL, Joe Public is a loser most weeks. Even Joe Public got to the window – and then got to the winner's circle with the Packers last week. I think the Giants are a fade every week for the rest of the year. I can't see Pat Shurmur getting any type of a game plan or any type of a situation where they outsmart, outcoach, outwit the other team. And so you're relying squarely on talent, which right now the Giants are deficient in that.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, listen, and a lot of their talent isn't even on the field, right?
Yeah.
Tate's been out. Ingram's been out. Barkley is obviously compromised with the high ankle
sprain.
Very
compromised.
You know what I mean?
He looks like a different player this year.
Fantasy players, they may shut him down. You know, you might go into your championship and then boom, all of a sudden Saquon gets shut down.
That would be rough.
We'll talk about it a little bit more. It is Make It Rain here on the Sports Grid Network. If you want the edge, get on the field.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change, like...
So this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Why is Jada just as real as he gets? It's making rain here on the Sports Grid Network. Jared, I've been noticing over the course of the last 2 days that with my, you know, random spitting statistician, stable genius, vocal minority self, you're laughing a lot. You like it when we put the fun in functional sports content?
Well, this is entertainment in a sense. Like, obviously, it's infotainment, I guess I would say.
That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I think people like
to see me smile more than, like, frown. Like, I could be like Gabe and just be like, the whole time.
We're trying to have fun as we do this. Like, I always put the fun in functional sports content.
I love it, dude.
You know, I used to be in the education world, okay, as a teacher, and then as a principal and stuff like that.
I could see you as a good – you'd be a good teacher. What was the subject?
That's another topic for another day. It's been a lot of – let's put it this way. In 3 straight years, I taught sixth grade English, then seventh grade science, then eighth grade math.
Wow.
Yeah, there were kids in middle school who thought I was the smartest person in the world
because I
taught them.
I think the funny thing is that all of those things I think are relevant to capping sports. English, science, and math. You need to be relevant in all three of those.
Project. We literally in math, we played like the stock market game.
Love it.
I had to literally balance their bank. But I digress. I thought about the fun and fun sports content because one of the things I always want to ask you, you know, I see you laughing and stuff. And I'm sure yesterday we talked about, oh, he went to Jarrett, and you say you've never heard that before. Have you heard Frank Caliendo before?
I know, I do get that a lot. I also get the late show guy, James Corden, a lot too.
Yeah, okay.
We were doing a lot too.
And you said one of the things you said, I don't know. I swear to God, Jared, not only did I think it was Frank Caliendo, but it sounded like Frank Caliendo doing John Gruden.
Oh, I love it. Honestly, someone was in the chat calling me that.
Something
and,
you were like,
you know,
yeah, right there.
I know I got a giant head, which is like hard. And I that's the reason that this Make It Rain like setup is weird for me because I see myself in this television. And like my head takes up like the whole screen, and it's like,
Brian,
it's not a flattering look for me.
I know. So, and I would say just sit back a little bit, but you got the screen behind you.
Yeah, maybe move back. Yeah, that's a little better. It's a little better.
But thanks for doing your thing and holding it down for Joe Ranieri. We've got another hour on deck. We're gonna have Maxwell Smart talk about college basketball. We got college football playoff conference championship games.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering 5 of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.